Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For some in America, it's just fine to pursue money. But money can weigh us down in the race of life. Worse, it can turn our hearts away from God and toward pursuing even more money and the things it buys. God has some words to say to the rich. Words you'll hear on today's Running to Win. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in his series on disciplines that grow godliness, Dr. Lutzer is teaching us about the discipline of generosity. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, where we hear God's warnings to those with money.
Beware of pride, beware of instability, beware of thanklessness. Notice it says we should fix our hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. In other words, money is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. It has come from Him. That's why the Bible warns the rich. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, beware lest when you enter into the land that you say that it is the strength of my arm that has begotten this, for it is the Lord that enables you to beget wealth. Beware. You say, well, what are the rich supposed to do? Once again, it's found in the Bible. And you know, the Bible is a book with so much wisdom. The Bible doesn't come along and say, well, you know, give everything away so that you're as poor as everybody else. It does not condemn the riches. You see, and that's very, very important. Since I've been here at the Moody Church on a few occasions, we have had some very large gifts. And there are some things that we have been able to do as a church that we would not be able to do were it not for the fact that there have been at least a few wealthy people who have given us sizable sums. In fact, just a couple of summers ago, we received unexpectedly a rather large gift, and that became a down payment for the property that we are purchasing next door. So the Bible does not condemn the rich. We need to affirm them, we need to warn them, and then we need to instruct them as to what to do, as the text of Scripture says. But we do not condemn the rich, because God uses them to enable ministries to do things that those ministries could never do were it not for some wealthy people who give money. Notice it says, verse 18, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works. Which, incidentally, is interesting. That means that any one of us could be rich, because we can all be rich in good works, no matter how poor we may be. And to be generous, there's the word now, and the title of this message is the discipline of generosity, and to be ready to share. Why? Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. That's the way you use money when God brings it your way. Now, what does the Bible teach us about this? In ancient times, there were three ways in which wealth was often kept. One was clothes, the other was grain, and the third was gold. That was about it. And Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, refers to all three when he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where the moths would eat the clothes, and rust, that would be blight, that would ruin the grain, and where thieves break through and steal, that is, the gold. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth here, because it's not that there's anything wrong with treasure. It's the fact that you have chosen a treasure that isn't going to last. That's the difficulty. The desire for riches and treasures is ingrained within us, and God says, go for it. Go for the larger treasure. Don't be satisfied with the clothes and the wealth of gold and of grain, because that is going to pass away. Take those things and transform them into the heavenly Dow Jones Industrial Average stock market, where you have stability, you have security, and you have a high rate of interest. How does that work? The Scripture says that when we give to those who have need, when we give to help missionaries spread the gospel throughout the world, we are actually enabling others to work in such a way that when we get to heaven, there are going to be people who will meet us who had an impact in their lives because we gave on earth. Jesus told a whole parable to illustrate that. In fact, he says you should use the mammon of unrighteousness. That's what he's calling money. He says you should use the mammon of unrighteousness that you may have others welcome you into the eternal kingdom. And we do that through our giving. That's why every Sunday we give you an opportunity to give. We have missionaries that have to be supported. Some of us support missionaries over and above those that attend Moody Church. Many of you, I'm sure, do that. And I would like to think that my wife and I would find people in heaven, not just because somebody found Christ as Savior through my preaching or perhaps through my writing or whatever, but because we gave money to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and we laid hold of that which is life indeed. That's one way to have people who will meet you in heaven. The other is to be given responsibility in heaven. Jesus told a parable one day, and he says that if God cannot entrust to you this mammon of unrighteousness, this stuff that we call money, if God can't entrust that to you and you're not faithful with it, how then is he going to make you faithful over the cities of the kingdom? And the answer is that your extent of rule in the coming kingdom is going to be dependent upon your faithfulness here. You know, people say, well, they aren't going to miss my dime or quarter at Moody Church. It's a big church, and, the budget is so high, and maybe you don't have any work, and about all that you could give is $10 or even less than that. And nobody's going to miss that. Well, first of all, let me say that here at the Moody Church, our budget is made up by the faithfulness of many, many people. It is a working together. We do not have large gifts often, occasionally, but not often, and it is dependent on every one of us. But secondly, you are reasoning beside the point. The issue is not whether Moody Church can make it. We might be able to make it with God's grace. But the question is, how will you do when you enter into the kingdom of heaven, into everlasting habitations? That's the question that you and I must face individually and personally before God. So that's what he says that the rich should do. What he's saying is, take your wealth, bypass those snares, and thank God that there are many, many rich people that do. Could I also give a word of warning, though? There are many, many rich people who don't. Why is it that God sometimes has blessed Christian people with an awful lot of money, and yet they do not give, they are not generous? It is because the snares on the way to wealth are everywhere, and it is so easy to be deceived and to be tripped up. Very easy. That's why this warning is here. Now I've spoken to the poor, now I've spoken to the rich, and now a word for all of us. How do we bring this down to where you and I live? First of all, there must be in our hearts what I call a change of heart, a change of heart. Let me ask you something. Have you ever met somebody who's really stingy? I mean, really stingy. Some of you say, oh, yes, Pastor Lutzer. As a matter of fact, I had breakfast with him, you could say. My wife can't say that because she and I did not have breakfast together. I had an earlier breakfast, so no comment from over here. How do you get somebody who is really stingy to become generous? Can you reason them into it? Can you read the Bible to them and show them? Probably not. Probably not. The greed that is so deep within the human heart is not easily uprooted. Only God, ultimately, usually, can do that. And what people need to do is to recognize that because of God's generosity, he's been so good to us, when they understand what Christ did and God's goodness to us, that motivates them to begin to give. In fact, that's exactly the motivation that the Apostle Paul used in 2 Corinthians. It says, Christ, who though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Now Paul says, that's your motivation for giving. You've been redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God has redeemed you at high cost, and he has done so generously and joyfully and freely. Can't you see that being generous is just a response to his mercy? And that's why it's so important that those of you who have never accepted Christ as your Savior, by the way, that you not even give. Don't give to this church. Don't give to any church. For a number of reasons. Number one, so that you understand that salvation cannot be bought by money. But number two, because you don't really have the right motivation anyway. It is only a response to God's love and a response to all that God has done for us in Christ. That's why we should really give. It is our thank you for his mercy. So first of all, there has to be a change of heart. Secondly, and this is very important now and very difficult to do. You say, oh no, it's not difficult to do. You try it this afternoon. Take out a half an hour and do this. There has to be a change of ownership. A change of ownership. You must take everything that you have, you rich people, you poor people, you people in between, and you must give all those consciously, deliberately, directly to God. Absolutely everything. Because we must move from ownership to stewardship. It all belongs to God anyway. He has given it to us, and so it is simply a recognition that, God, I have taken and I have absorbed into my hands, I have grasped from your hand what belongs to you, and now I simply recognize my home and my car and my bank accounts and my whatever are all yours. I give them to you one by one. Oh, the struggle in the human heart to do that. But I want to tell you from personal experience, you will not be content until you do. You won't be content until you do. Yes, that certainly is ironic, isn't it? We aren't content until we give up ownership and give it to God. This is Pastor Lutzer. Perhaps the best example of how this should be done. For this, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 1, where God said to Adam, I want you to rule over the earth, over the animals. Notice very carefully, Adam was not supposed to own anything, but he was supposed to rule it for God. To put it clearly, he was responsible for God's property, for that which God owned. And God says, Adam, what I want you to do is to be mine, take care of what I own. Well, isn't it interesting that when sin came into the world, everything changed? After that, you have ownership. You have me and mine. And we are born into this world grasping for that which is ours, feeling threatened by anyone who wants it, being absolutely convinced that what is ours should be under our control and not under God's control. And that's why this transference of ownership that I talked about in the message is so very, very difficult. But let's begin the process. Let's begin to name things that we own and say, Father, this is yours. And the transfer of ownership will bring peace, and God himself will be pleased.
Next time, the conclusion of this challenging message on generosity. This entire 5-part series on discipline can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.